What's going on, beautiful people? This is Mr. No Excuses and my man Jay.
What's going on? What's going on?
With another episode of the Hidden Truths Podcast, where we provide therapy through conversation, restoring trust and community advocacy, one conversation at a time. What are those skeletons you've been hiding in your closet? What are those uncomfortable conversations that you need to have that may be holding you back from your progress? The more we talk about it, the more we communicate openly and honestly about it, the more we can start trusting each other. The more we start trusting each other, the more we can start building and growing with each other. So that's what we're here to talk about with the Hidden Truths Podcast. Be sure to check us out and subscribe. We're available on all social media platforms and all listening platforms. Hidden Truths Podcast.
All right, today's community spotlight, we're going to shout out Ultimate Fitness Training on 500 West 32nd Street. You can reach out to Tracy. He's been a personal trainer for about 2-3 years now. He trains all ages, does a great job, especially with kids, young adults, old, it doesn't matter. So definitely check them out on 500 West 32nd Street. It's a brand new gym. They have a lot of new equipment. Just go out there, check them out. He also has an Instagram, U_F_T_.
All right, absolutely, absolutely. So y'all ready to rock and roll with this podcast, man?
Well, I know I am, since ain't nobody else going to speak. Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is probably the fullest room we've ever had.
Yeah, so, absolutely. That's why it's getting so hot in here right now.
Well, you know how it is when you get some color folk in the room. Now.
So we got several guests with us. So we'll do a round robin and let y'all introduce yourselves.
Hey, what's going on? This is Curtis.
And I'm Iman.
And I'm Rez.
Hello, I'm Miranda.
Hey, guys.
Hi, hey, what's up? What's up?
All right, so we're going to have to put some bass in y'all voice to say it with your chest.
we got to get some action in here. They
yeah, absolutely.
Like they just got
absolutely.
Off work. They like, ready to go home.
Well, we got something that'll probably get everybody talking. So topic of the day, and first of all, thank y'all for coming. We appreciate you being here. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you chose to be here with us on Hidden Truths Podcast. So we appreciate it. Today's topic, one that is very timely, especially in 2019 and essentially in a new millennium for us millennials, shacking up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And for those who are listening that might not know what shacking up means, that means cohabitation, living together before marriage. We call it shacking up down here, though. So we want to get y'all's ideas on it. Should you do it? Should you not? What is your opinion? What are your opinions on it? Have you done it before? Do you have anything against it? So I want to start with my man, Kurt, because you have some personal experience with this. So I want to get your perspective on shacking up. How was that for you?
Well, I'll tell you what. I totally agree with shacking up, contrary to belief. But I wholeheartedly agree with it because I feel like you should be around someone and live with them and get a feel for them and see how they, live. Some people nasty. And I feel like just being real.
A lot of people that's nasty.
Oh, yeah. And I'm a testament to that because I'm here with my wife. We're newlyweds, Iman. And
congratulations.
Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Appreciate
and
it.
And quick shout out. I'll get right back to that. But quick shout out. Iman and Kurt got married, what was it, 2 weeks ago now?
About 2 weeks ago, yeah.
2 weeks ago,
yeah.
Cancun, Mexico.
Fresh.
Yeah, fresh. Fresh off the boat.
They're still in that take back phase. You got 30 days to take this license. Right.
So, yeah, it was a beautiful wedding right down the beach in Cancun, Mexico. I was there. It was a beautiful ceremony.
I appreciate it.
So, yeah, back to your point.
Yeah, so I treat it, I got analogies for days, but I never bought a bike first. I hadn't rode, and I'm not going to buy a car without test driving it first. So, and my wife will tell you the same thing. We both agree with living with one another first before you can, see where things can go, because people got a lot of skeletons, and when you get them in a, close situation and you're cohabiting, those things come out. So me personally, and I'm pretty sure she'll back me when I say this, I'd rather get those surprises out of the way first versus go in with blinders on, and then now we're married and now you find out all kind of stuff that you don't really agree with.
Mm. So I want to get your perspective on that.
Well, I will say my husband Curtis, he's my second go around as far as shacking up, so I'm definitely a firm believer in it. And I always say, you never really know how much you like somebody until you know what you don't like about them and if you can tolerate it. So the only way to find that out is to get people comfortable, take off all those shields, and they're comfortable in their own home. So I'm very, very adamant about, let's try it out. Might not be for long. Now I got a time limit. So we'll see what happens. Cool. I think it's important.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. So we'll circle back to that because there was a couple questions that jogged in my mind. But I want to get Raz and Miranda, y'all's perspective on shacking up. First of all, Raz, have you ever lived with somebody before you were married?
So I would agree with the married couple that, yes, it does make sense to shack up first and then definitely give yourself a time limit. But like I said, I did it for 9 years, and that was a little too long. But I learned a lot about the person. There was a lot of promises that were not met, or basically there were things that they were supposed to do and they never did it. So that's my take.
We want to get you, Miranda. What's your take on shacking up?
So my take on shacking up, I have done it once before with somebody that I thought I was going to marry. We lived together for a little over a year, and I don't think I would do it again, and I would not recommend it for other people. I do think that there's a lot to be said about, again, entering somebody's personal space and understanding how they operate in their home. But then again, I think there's a lot to be said about your own personal space and making sure that you respect that until it's time to make a bigger commitment. And unfortunately, in the experience that I had, I didn't see a bigger commitment, and it became more of a convenience factor within the first couple of months. And because we lived in a city that was relatively expensive, it almost became a trap for the relationship because you didn't want to go back to having your personal expenses double just by stepping away from a very economic situation.
So when you say convenience, are you talking about from both of y'all's perspectives? Or was one person kind of winning in that situation and one was freeloading?
No, like financially we were splitting everything, but...
Oh, so you had a roommate.
It kind of turned into that, right? It kind of turned into that. That's very true. I would say throughout the year plus that we lived together, it was very, one person was on and then the other person was off. But I think ultimately what was difficult when we ended it is the fact that now we got to go back to our expensive separate lives. Mm-hmm. Everything, you know, has to revert back to where it was at. And we were living in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. right in the middle of Northwest at that time. And it sucked. I mean, it was just a hard transition, very hard transition. And not just because of the breakup, but because of the convenience of shacking up and then going back. So now looking back at that relationship, I really do appreciate the experience, but I don't think it's necessary another go around. I think I can get to know somebody and decide whether or not to marry them without actually having or needing to cohabitate.
Interesting. So is it more because of that experience, or do you think your opinion would be different had you not already lived with somebody that didn't work out?
That's a good question. I think it's because of me personally. Like, I'm somebody that I love my personal space. I like my home is a safe retreat. So if I want to go out and be social, I can go out and be social. It is not difficult for me to make new friends or to find folks to hang out with. But at the same time, I like my home. Like, I like things a particular way. I like, you know, my own decorations. I like my own food. I like to put cereal box on top of the refrigerator instead of in the cabinet.
Isn't that what everybody does?
No, that's hood as hell.
I don't like things on countertops.
Yeah. I like to know that when laundry is done, it's going to get folded up and put away immediately. And so it's little conveniences like that that I wouldn't sacrifice just to give somebody a test drive.
Okay. So I want to bring it back to Kurt and Iman. What sort of responses or reactions did you get from like your family, friends, or whoever when they realized y'all were living together without being married?
I didn't get really any negative feedback from my family or friends. I didn't receive that, you know. A lot of people that I know, they were, you know, living together before they had kids. And, you know, it's, I don't know. Like, I know before I met Iman, I'd stayed in my place. you know, 8-9 years. So I had to adjust because, like she was saying, once you get used to your personal space, you're going to have to adjust and adapt. So it was uncomfortable at first, but there are sacrifices you have to make if you want to make it work.
I ended up getting a little bit of, it was a different situation, I guess, from my first experience. My first experience, I was young. I convinced my parents, you know, we think about getting married. You know, I really want to move in. It became almost, like you said, Miranda, like a little bit of a crutch a little bit, considering we were both in college. So false promises, same old story. But for Curtis and I, it was a different situation because we were doing long distance relationship. At the time, I lived in Michigan and he was down here. So, you know, I thought about before we contemplated, oh, I should come down here. I'll get my own spot. And then, you know, but we all know what I'm coming down here for. So, you know, if it's not going to be serious, we're not talking any real commitment. What am I coming down here for? So I came down with the intentions. We're going to move in. He already has his place. We're going to see where this goes. We're talking about marriage or a future. And, you know, I just, in my mind, I mentally put a timeline on it. You know, I didn't necessarily tell him, oh, you have this month, but I'm only going to stay here so long, get a feel for how it is, or I'm out. You know, I may stay in Charlotte or I may go back home. Who knows? But, you know, it was more like, oh, so you're going to move in, you're going to move down there. It didn't really make sense to live apart. I came down here for you, for a commitment. So,
because you end up, I mean, especially if you're looking at it from a financial standpoint, you end up spending more when you're doing all that traveling back and forth. And then it's also the side of, it's not really an ultimatum because that has a negative connotation, but in the back of your mind, it's like, we have to be dating with a purpose, you know, especially with the sacrifice that you're making to relocate, to give up your standard of living, you know, even for you, Kurt, even giving up your space the way you used to live in, you know, you want to make sure with at least some level of certainty that the relationship is going somewhere.
Absolutely.
I think that one of the important things when it comes to shacking up, I think it also the idea of coming down here, moving in with him, it came with age. So I feel like in general, when you hit your 30s or, you know, when you hit your 30s or late 20s, whatever, you're at that point where you know what you like and what you don't like. So for some people at the time, I knew what I liked and I didn't like. If I didn't like, you know, if I came down here and I said, this is not a bad experience, I'm going to get out. So I'm not going to sit up here and do the same thing I did before, knowing that it's not going to go anywhere. So,
absolutely. What about you, Jay? You ever had any personal experiences with shacking?
Yes.
Speak on that.
Yes, I have. And I will tell anybody, 2 times over, make sure you stay with somebody before you make it serious.
Ah, do tell.
So now, let's get into that a little bit deeper. What's some of the irritating habits of the person that you live with that you learned about that you had to adjust to?
So I guess with me, it's all about the other person. Like Kirk said, you're gonna be used to your style, and you always gonna think your style is the right style. But see, me, when I've done it, it's like you argue about some stuff, and it may not seem big to them, but to you, it's like, yo, you fold them towels wrong. You need to get to fold that shit right. It's just a different
Your
world.
Your edges ain't matching.
Yeah, you know. It's people will look at little things and be like, well, that's mediocre. But you like, no, it's not. I know how I want my laundry room to look or my towels folded or my sheets put on because that's what you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
So a little change like that messed up the whole bunch sway of the house. And you like, okay, this shit got to go. I'm sorry. Well, female... however you want to put it, they got to go. Because you like, man, this ain't cool, man. But if you really into that person, you learn to give and take. Now, if that give and take is 70-30, that's what it is. But, you know, you give and take. And I'm pretty sure y'all two had to do a lot of give and take to make it work because you're 2 different people.
I have a confession. When we moved in together, I kind of did things to just see if it would get on his nerves. Not like, okay, wait. Not like, you know. I needed to see, like, okay, if I took too long to either clean up something, how would he react? Or if I, you know, put things I know he didn't care in this particular place, or just small things. I just wanted to see, not like to get, like, nothing crazy, but just to see how he... You know,
how
either,
he handled pressure.
Yeah,
he was trying to be
change.
A meme.
I believe he left his cup in the sink.
So, Miranda, what about you? Because I saw that facial expression when we started talking about habits that you had to get adjusted to. So what's your experience with that?
Yeah, so the habits that I have seen, I think, you know, I don't think they're unique to him at all. But it was just certain things like, how often do you do laundry? What do you do with your laundry when it's clean? Is it different than what you do with your dirty laundry?
I would hope so.
I would hope so, too, but that was not the case.
Oh, my. And the dirty drawers and the clean drawers.
Oh, mixed.
And just
interracial drawers.
Smell test.
Right. And just other things, like your sleeping habits. What time do you get up in the morning? How late do you go to bed? Things like that are difficult to adjust to. And again, just getting back to my personal belief, I don't think that makes or breaks a person's character. And I think a lot of those things are something that if you have compassion and if you have love and if you have kindness towards somebody, you can learn to compromise on, or you can learn to meet them halfway, or whatever your respectable division is. And I think you're right. I think what Jamie said about it creates a division in the relationship, and it really takes the focus from, are we compatible as people, to can we just live together? Like, can we survive without getting on each other's last nerve? And I think sometimes, you know, if your level of commitment isn't there yet, that's a very difficult question to answer fairly with those kind of obstacles in front of you.
I got a question, Miranda. So these things that you're bringing to light, did you with the guy that you were dating at the time, did you bring these questions or concerns to him? And if you did he try to change, or he wanted to stay stuck in his ways and didn't want to change? For example, when you told him about, you know, the folding clothes or the laundry, that what was up to your expectations, when you mentioned that to him, did he not try to change or have a conversation about it, or he just wanted to keep doing things his way?
I would say that he was open to change. That's a good question. He was definitely open to change, and he was receptive to the feedback that I was giving. But I think the difficulty for us is that the commitment to marriage wasn't there yet. And so I think the question was, well, how much am I going to change for somebody that's not committed to me yet? You know, because it wasn't just the laundry. Sometimes, like when we first moved in, the funniest story, I learned that he didn't like checking the mail because he doesn't like to pay bills.
Oh, shit.
Like,
I mean, that's all of us, but we still got to get that
you
mail.
Still check your mail.
It's going to pile up.
Here's right? The reason why this didn't work out.
So, I mean, not to say, I mean, but see, this was the thing.
At least get the mail.
He had lived by himself for years before we met, and he paid his bills. He's in good financial shape. But for some reason, he just thought, like, oh, because she lives here now, I don't have to, like, this isn't my headache anymore.
If I don't see the bill, it doesn't exist.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, certain Jeez. Things he was receptive to, certain things I think he was just looking for an out on.
Yeah, he definitely.
When that was one thing he wasn't changing.
When y'all moved in together, he definitely was like, sounds like a roommate, split everything, she can take on all of this.
Maybe.
I'm sorry to laugh.
Yes.
I've never heard
that before.
I'm not going to check the mail
because
I got to pay anything.
I mean, we don't check the mail every day, but we may every other day and get the mail so you get more, I
so,
guess.
In 2019, doesn't everybody get their bills electronically?
Majority. And I know when my bills do.
Honestly, even
dude, if, don't check his email either.
Right. Even if you don't get the mail, you know that bill is there. Stop playing.
Pretty
that
much.
Service was not free. Not right. Free. So...
So I have a question. The same question I have Raz, correct?
Yes.
So you have probably had the longest relationship stand with somebody cohabitate. I would love to hear, what are some of the things after 9 years that really just got to you? It's interesting. You know, as you put age behind things, you see a lot more.
I don't think we have enough time. but there was a lot of things. For starters, he was older than me. Secondly, he grew up in the projects. I'm from New York. He was from Harlem. I'm from Brooklyn. So just living, I don't know if you guys know how the project works in New York City, but they don't pay for water. They don't pay for electricity. They don't pay for gas. Stay in
projects.
Huh?
I need to stay in the project.
Yeah,
I got no
they
bills.
Don't pay for gas.
No, you don't.
So
your boy should stay in the project. He ain't getting no bills.
When we moved to Charlotte, we had to pay. I mean, I was already paying these bills living in Brooklyn, but when we moved to Charlotte together, it was like, okay, you know, you got to turn off the light. You can't just run the water. It was just things that he wasn't accustomed to. And of course, I had to constantly keep telling him. But of course, as time grew, just little things he was getting a little bit better with, but he was still, I still had to kind of run behind him.
Did he stay on his own before?
He kind of.
Right.
Very short. It was very short. No, it was, I don't want to go into too much details, but it was kind of, sort of. So okay, he lived with a girl there for about a year and a half. Then he moved out of state for like 2 years. It was just all over the place.
Well, I guess I asked that because it just kind of seemed like maybe he never had that whole, I'm standing somewhere by myself. I come home to myself. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like. Maybe he didn't get a chance to live that type of life.
I don't think so. Another thing too, he would have a lot of people at the house. I'm a very private person and I don't like a lot of company. And there were, I would just come home from work and I'm like, well, who the hell are these people? You know? And it was just like, oh, those are my friends. He would have people spend the night, didn't tell me. And I'm like,
oh.
So you wake up cooking breakfast for more than the family then?
Oh, no, I don't cook breakfast for strangers. But he would have, he had one particular guy that was coming by the home taking a shower. And I'm like, well, why is there a towel in my house? You know, and he's like, oh, I live here too. I pay bills. I said, that's not the point. Who was here?
At the time, where was your child born?
No.
Okay. That's it. Never mind.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just thinking like your safety, everything. Oh, yeah. Just ain't no heads up.
I mean,
up,
there was lack of communication long list ever. Of, at some time, I felt my safety was at stake. There was a lot. Like I said, I can't go into too much detail, but let's just put it this way.
I understand when you, like you said, you guys were in New York.
Yeah.
It all comes sometimes. Not saying it's an excuse. It comes from upbringing.
Yeah.
If you're used to, you know what I mean, having people around and lots of people, you know, in and out. That's nothing. Oh, that's fam.
Yeah.
That's fam. Mm-hmm. That's fam right there. Who is fam? Who, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I kind of get it because it's something to adjust to. But yeah.
Yeah, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
I didn't like it. You know.
So, Mr. No Excuses, Mr. Hidden Truths, I ain't about to keep you out of this now. What's your opinion on this? I've known you for 10 years, so I know you got an opinion.
We waiting.
Exactly.
The city's waiting, huh?
Yeah.
So you want to know?
I want to know.
Should you do it?
What is your opinion on it?
I have no problem with it. You know, I don't see nothing wrong with it because, like Kurt say, I have to know what I'm getting into, and the best way to realize a person's idiosyncrasies, their habits, some of the things that are going to get on your last damn nerve and see if you can tolerate it, you know, before you actually take that leap, you learn that by living with them. Because, you know, I had an experience like that where, similar to Kurt and Iman, it was a long-distance relationship, not as long of a distance, you know. Everybody can put on their best face when you're only spending a couple of days together or a few hours together. But when you're seeing somebody day in, day out, you seeing their hair wraps at night, you seeing the hair left on the floor, you're hearing the person fart in the bed and all
that. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you for bringing that up because people don't understand this. The real, real person you really don't see.
Well, I'm talking about me when I'm talking about farting in bed. So.
Oh,
shit.
You didn't know that.
I'm talking about the other half, but go ahead, E. All right.
I mean, it was my bed, so.
Yeah.
You know, my bed, I fart if I want to. But that was one of the things that she had to get used to with me. I wasn't used to seeing hair everywhere. I'm like, damn, ain't no women shed like this. I'm sweeping there 10 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, we...
drains getting clogged.
Yeah, drains getting clogged. You know, clothes being left on the bed, but you know, which was not too bad because it was in the spare bedroom with the door closed. But even me, I'm like, all right, they need to be good. Leave them in the dryer. Don't put them out at all. But there wasn't something that was like a pet peeve or a deal breaker. It's just an adjustment. So. Absolutely, I have no problem with it. I did get some negative flack from certain members of the fam, though, make long story short, me and my ex, we were living together at the time, and we went down to see my fam. And I asked my sister if we could spend a night with her, because we were staying, you know, overnight to visit the fam. Sis was like, nah. I said, huh? What you mean no? Well, I don't feel comfortable with y'all living here and y'all not married. And I'm thinking, well, what difference does that make? You had a child out of wedlock and so on and so forth. Hell, if it wasn't for side babies, half of us wouldn't be here.
This is true.
True.
This is true.
So, yeah, caught some a little bit of negative flack on that, but, you know, nonetheless, it didn't stop my grind as far as the relationship we were building. So, yeah, got a lot of personal experience with that, but absolutely try before buy.
Did anybody hit you with the religious aspect?
Well, that was part of it.
Okay.
You know how some folks claim the whole religious thing and then use it as an excuse for their... Yeah. It becomes hypocritical.
I think I went through the same thing, and I think it's funny how, like you said, they would do it, because I had the same situation going to visit my brother, and his wife was like, she didn't feel comfortable. So, I mean, I don't care. She can sleep in the room, I sleep on the couch. It ain't that serious. But you're right. When you have somebody that... Wasn't y'all dating for 12 years before y'all got married? But right. I can't do this? Oh, okay. So, it, to me, like she said, hypocritical.
It's a double standard.
It's a double standard.
It's a double standard.
I don't think that's
right. But I think it was, in that situation, more of that can be an excuse because of some unsaid animosity between my sister and my ex. And I think that was just an opportunity to use that as an excuse. But I want to piggyback on something you said, Kirk, because you brought up the religious context. And that's one of the reasons I hear a lot of people make for not advocating for living together before marriage, because of the religious context and the biblical sense and, you know, so on and so forth, which is always very interesting to me because churches have some of the highest divorce rates.
I was going to piggyback on that, too, because it's funny how people use the Bible in their favor for their judgment. So, you know, I mean, that's why, you know, when you open up the conversation with, hey, what do you think? I totally agree with it. You know, whether, you know, some people agree with, hey, you should be married first and then you go ahead and move in together. And I'm like, that may work for you. But, you know, a lot of people, and, you know, there are hypocrites out there. I mean, I'm not perfect, but, you know, since we on the Bible subject, I'll just go on this just for a little bit because, I don't know if all those stories in the Bible true, but we'll stop right there.
We ain't got time. We don't have time.
I would say, so the Bible does say that you should keep your marriage bed pure. And I don't think the Bible goes as far as to say men and women shouldn't live together before marriage. But, I mean, let's be honest, how many men and women are living together now and not having sex? So I think that's where you get the religious play, is that can you maintain your celibacy, or can you maintain that division and keep your marriage bed pure and holy and sanctified and reserved for the one that you wed yourself to without, or by living, like when you're living together? So I would just put that in there for folks that are more inclined to say that this is a decision based on their faith.
I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is people that'll preach that, but they're not living by that, or... Mm-hmm. They're not, their actions don't agree with what they're saying.
Call that rich and switch. You behave one way for now because you're living this quote unquote perfect life. And then now if someone else does something that you don't approve of or you have an issue with, it's kind of like now you want to bring the Bible or you want to bring religion into it. And
Taking a step back from the religious context, I think there's been a theme that I've heard come up a couple of times, and it's about either family members, siblings, parents, others who have cohabitated before marriage or have cohabitated and not ended in marriage. What do you guys think about just the generational effects of it? Like, do you think it's something you picked up from your parents, or is it something that you would want for your children? I'd be curious to hear.
Well, for myself, my parents are still married. We've been wanting them to get a divorce for the last 30 years.
I like you, Rash.
And the reason why we say that is because just because you're married don't mean you're happy.
Keep it real.
At the end of the day, I have four siblings, but we saw a lot of turmoil within the relationship. And I mean, I know the reasons why they're staying. I mean, my mom has voiced it to me. I know what my dad is saying, but it's not healthy. And it's not healthy even to this day. So when it comes to either shacking up or marriage, to me, as long as you have a healthy relationship, it doesn't matter if you're married or not. I mean, of course, it is a great thing to be married, because I'm not married. I would love to be married one day myself. But if it's not healthy, if it's not right, I don't want it. You know.
So this is my rule of thumb now, since I've been in this world for so damn long, old as hell. But anyway, my rule of thumb is I feel like you should stay with somebody once you're engaged. That's just me. Once I'm engaged, come on, move in, bring your drawers, let's go do this. But before that, you might as well just keep, because you don't really know if it's real until it's like, especially for a man. Man put a ring on it, he spent some money. Oh, he's serious. Because that's how men monetize things. Money
true.
Is
very true.
Money is a lot. We work hard. I'm not saying women don't work hard for their money. But men look at money a little different. It's like, I spent all this money on this ring. Girl, I'm serious. Wait, I ain't going nowhere.
I wish more men had that idea of what you're saying. I only say that because typically, what do we do? Women, we say, oh, we're going to move in together. This may possibly be going somewhere. And at that time, we begin to just wait on the man to propose, because we're not proposing. So, you know, most men be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then it turns into false promises. Because we're here, we decided to move in, and now we're waiting. So same situation with us. It's like, oh, you know, I'm going to come down, I'm going to move in. In my mind, my clock is ticking. I am not going to say anything to you. I'm not the one that's going to give you, oh, you got to do, I'm just going to sit back and wait. And when I'm out, I'm out. And ain't no go backs. So it just turns into, I wish that more men would think in your terms, or either I'm about to spend this money, like next month or two, or I'm gonna spend this money and say, hey, move in, instead of, yeah, come on and move in. And then it just drags out. And on top, I wish, one more thing, because we end up waiting on the man, I wish if you're not feeling it, let me know so I can get out and get going.
And see, Miranda, I'm gonna circle back to your question, but that's an excellent point, Iman, because it was something I wanna hit on there too. But to your question, Miranda, is it generational? I don't remember if my mother and father lived together before they got married, but when I made the decision to live with someone, I never got married, but we got engaged. That's another story. But before I made that decision, it had nothing to do with what I saw. It's what I felt was right. It's what I felt was right. You know, that was a solid female who I cared dearly for, loved, you know, the whole nine yards. You know, that was my homie. So the relationship naturally progressed into that versus, well, it's time to move in, or it's time to get engaged. It's, you know what? I'm feeling this right now. I'm happy. So for me, it wasn't so much as generational. It was finding a point of happiness in someone that I really wanted to take it to that next level with, because that was the only person that I had ever dated that I had even remotely considered a future with.
And so let me ask then, from that situation, what was the straw that broke the camel's back?
Me.
So it wasn't cohabitating or anything?
No,
you learned
cohabitation had nothing to do with it. It was me, and I'll just make it very short and concise, because I can write a whole book on just that piece alone. But long story short, it was me not making her a priority. We got to the point where we stopped dating each other and stopped doing a lot of things that kind of got us to the point of engagement. I started to take her for granted.
Okay. So do you think some of that may have come about because you guys were just so conveniently located on the left and the right side of the bed, and it was just easy to see your partner every single day when you wake up and not think about, oh, this is somebody that I'm pursuing and that I have intention for and that I have bigger plans for?
Yeah, that naturally happens in any relationship, regardless of whether you're living with them or not. Eventually, relationships have the tendency to get mundane because it does become comfortable. So regardless of whether you're living together or not, you have to continue to do those same things that you did when you were dating that person. But yeah, it wasn't because of living together that the flame kind of died out. It was me not fully appreciating the woman that I had.
So, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
So one of the things that I take from cohabitating, shacking. So I think that with everything, you have to learn. You have to take what you get from a situation and learn from it. So relationships, you learn from those. Shacking, a lot of people don't do a lot of, like you said, you did it once, right, Raz? And then
I would do it again.
Yeah, you'll do it again. But from that 9 years, you learned a lot that you probably wouldn't go through again.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm pretty sure that's the same with it. Smart people will learn.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of people out here that's gonna go right in the same situation and do the same thing and not change the thing. So that's one of the things I would say. I would definitely take every lesson, especially from shacking up, and just go with, like you said, E, learning to date that person continuously while you're shacking. And it's not as hard. Sometimes men have an issue with remembering, but like, you know, we do get comfortable. We're comfortable creatures. We like comfortability. That's actually one of the things we haven't talked about, is the good things about shacking up. Man, as a man, I like having a woman at the house. It's kind of a great feeling. You like, man, I get to come home. Sometimes I got a meal, sometimes I don't, but that's cool too. But you know, we get a lot of perks that we like to have. I can't speak for women what y'all perks are, but having a female presence makes you feel something inside.
Feel
you.
Good.
It's this great feeling. It's like, man, I come home and I got somebody that cares and somebody wants to know how my day went. You know, it's a good feeling. So, I mean, that's what we get out of it. I'm kidding. What do y'all women get from shacking up? What are some of the good things? Well, maybe it's nothing. But that's okay.
Crickets.
I
was like trying to like look. Tick tock.
No, there's a lot of good things. Okay, it's the same here. Oh, I came home. Oh, he cooked. Oh, he's asking me how my day is. Oh, he took me to work today. Oh, he's, you know, checking out my car if, you know, I need help with anything. It's nice. Or better yet, it's nice to be able to do something for him. I have somebody to cook for, and it's not just myself. It's kind of like, hey, you want to binge watch this show? Yeah, come on. You know, it's, you know, just having that person there. And I'm not going to lie, I don't like sleeping without him. So it's even, you know, I'll be like, I'm cold.
Oh, Pookie Bear over there.
I'm like, I'm cold. You like, you hot. It's perfect combination. So. Yeah.
Well, once you get past paying the bills and checking the mail every day. So one thing I would say is, when I was shacking up with my boyfriend at the time, we just had fantastic chemistry when it came to meeting new people and having fun things to do. Like, we could make something out of nothing. And when we lived in DC, one of the best memories that I'll never forget is we had quite a few snow days where we would be trapped in the house for 3 or 4 days on end. And when I tell you, we had a miniature golf game going on in our apartment hallway. We had our neighbors out joining in on the fun, and we just had such great chemistry. And it didn't matter if it was a snowstorm or if we were out just bar hopping. You always had a great friend to just hang out with. And I think that that time was really special and one of the biggest benefits. You know, in addition to just the simple stuff, like you got somebody to split the bills with, or better yet, to pay all the bills for women. Guys, don't look unfamiliar.
All right, we come the other way. We decorate, we buy your towels, mm-hmm. refresh your exactly. washcloth. Oh, you need a new shirt,
without
you know.
Money. You get to, yeah, I was going to say, you get to spend somebody
get
else's money.
Get your new underwear.
But also, you know, a lot of men nowadays are very, very modern. They like to cook. They don't mind picking up a hammer and fixing something around the house. So that's a huge benefit.
For myself, I would say it was always great to come home to him being there, because it was a sense of security. We lived in our apartment. We didn't have an alarm system. So to know that he was home, it made me definitely feel safe. But I also feel that shacking up, just having that intimacy every day with the person, to me was just like phenomenal. And of course, help to pay the bills and occasionally cook, and someone to go out with and dine. And we were new to Charlotte, so just exploring Charlotte was just a really great thing to do. I didn't have to worry about dating someone or trying to find someone to date. He was already there, so that was one of the greatest
Ernest
things.
To reflect back on what you asked, the question, would we like this for our children? I think you asked something like that. You said something with, would you want this for, you know, our children? And I would hardly say, I would say no. That's so hypocritical of me. But I'm going to say no, but I think I'm probably going
to
say no.
No, you wouldn't want your kids to
No, I wouldn't want them to shack up. And I only say, I guess it's based off of my personal experience. My first time, my parents did not want me to. And I'm over here thinking, we're going to get married. You know, ring shopping, we've been together. I'm convincing my parents. Went ahead and did that. And 2 years, we went ring shopping. And then nothing. And then we just stayed. And then it just stayed. And then when he finally did it, I was like, I'm done. So my parents didn't like that. So the second time around, I'm coming down here. Mom, I'm going to move, you know, my folks, I'm going to move down. So what? I'm moving down. Oh, you're going to move in? I'm like, yep, I got this time.
So they're thinking deja vu.
I'm sorry?
They're thinking deja vu.
They're thinking deja vu. And my parents, they were married before they moved in. They're still married now. But at the time, I'm thinking, I got this time. I'm older. I'm wiser. I've been through this. I've done this. I know what I want. I know what I don't want. I got it. So my mom, you know, my parents, they felt really comfortable about it. But at the same time, when I was younger, when I did that first time, I was 20-something. I know. Come on. You know.
You barely know yourself.
Right. So when you say, would you want your children? It depends on the age, I guess, or maybe what they experience, if I feel like. Because the second time around, my mom was like, are you sure? I'm like, I got it. She's like,
I'm gonna make this real quick. So Kurt, this is just for you, since your wife just answered this.
Yeah.
Does it not matter? Doesn't it make a difference depending on what you have? If you had a girl right now, baby girl, and she wanted to move in with a dude, you'd be like no, correct?
Yeah, that defense mechanism is gonna kick off.
But what if if it was your homie, your little man, would it matter?
Tell the truth, babe. Tell the truth.
Thank you.
It wouldn't even matter.
Nah. And on that note, I think we're going to have to wrap this up today. So, E, take us on out.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we appreciate all of our lovely guests joining us. I know it's a little toasty and a little crowded in here, but nonetheless, we used to it. We done been to church before. We used to that feeling anyway. Especially if you'd have been to a Baptist church. That's another story, though. So, as always, this is the Hidden Truths Podcast. Subscribe to us, like, share. We always appreciate the listens, the feedback, the comments. Always love when we get some good guests in, because we love the conversations and the energy that y'all bring to us. So keep it coming. Find us social media platforms and all listening platforms, Hidden Truths Podcast. If you ever want to be a guest on the show, hit us up, shoot us a DM, or shoot us an email, thehiddentruthspodcast@gmail.com. As always, kings and queens, stay up. We out.